next on BYUSN, the Big 12 tournament underway this morning. We'll discuss who would we rather BYU face in the second round tomorrow, UCF or Oklahoma State. Oh, yeah, and we'll be joined by three-time Super Bowl champion and head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid. What it meant to win back-to-back Super Bowls, Taylor Swift's impact, and the path to a three-peat.
Plus, BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff details what he learned as BYU's end-of-the-season starter and how he's handling the quarterback battle. And Top 5 Tuesday counts down the best regular seasons in BYU men's basketball history. Does this year's team take the number one spot?
Welcome to BYU Sports Station, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, March 12th. I am Spencer Linton. He is a man who designates and coordinates his wardrobe at the utmost degree, Jason Shepherd. And I feel like you are appropriately dressed for today for multiple reasons, Jason.
Yes, I believe you said that Andy Reid is going to be on the
Indeed,
show today.
Indeed, Coach Reid will be joining us.
And who am I a fan of? Chiefs?
The Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Yes, Jason.
Yep.
Rip your Super Bowl champions.
Here we go. Here we go. Look, you know how I feel about wearing red, okay? You know. But
we never wear red
in the studio. No, we didn't. We do not.
It's never on the set.
Nope.
But the cherry red of the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's different.
When Andy Reid is on the show.
Yes.
We make exceptions for that.
Red is this. Is, it's different when it's accompanied by a different logo. Yeah. It brings up different feelings for me than what the Chiefs red brings.
I was just going to ask you. Yeah. When did you cross that barrier and embrace that shade of red? Wholeheartedly.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, growing up there, that's the team. That was my team growing up there. So it's been fine. It's only in the state of Utah where red gets, you know.
We're going to ask.
It infers something different.
Yes, we're going to ask.
You leave the state, it's fine. It's a good color outside of the state.
Yes.
But here, it means something different.
Coach Reid has been outspoken about
the
whole red dynamic with the Chiefs as a BYU fan.
We've got Andy Reid on this show today.
It's awesome.
Let's go.
I'll ask him about that. I also have a goal. Like, what we're going to talk about Taylor Swift. I just need like one of those Swiftie accounts to find the quote from Coach Reid when he delivers it, whatever it is, and have it go viral, okay? This is my goal, Jason,
okay?
We need to get the Swifties involved with BYU Sports Nation somehow.
You imagine our social numbers if we get the same uptick that the NFL saw?
Coach Reid is so complimentary of her and the relationship she has with Travis Kelce. We just need to clip it up. We need to find the right magic hashtag. We need to get Swifties involved with BYU Sports Nation. Help me. BYU Sports Nation. Help us do this today to fully celebrate Coach Reid. Yes. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
But I think what we've seen all the season long is that BYU matches up with everybody in this conference.
Bruce Traore said, not in my house. Hello. Welcome to the Marriott Center. Talent Hall does a number on Payne. Johnson from three. Swish.
What's Trending, presented by Tim Daly Nissan, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Big 12 tournament basketball underway today. In fact, in roughly 31 minutes, the first game tips off. And that naturally leads us to this conversation, Jason, with BYU in Kansas City. It's a Kansas City day on BYUSN for sure. Who would you rather the Cougars play in the second round, UCF or Oklahoma State, and why do you lean towards one of those teams over another?
The good news is I think BYU is going to beat whoever they face.
Okay.
But it may surprise some, may surprise you, that the team that BYU beat twice is the team that I probably would least rather face.
Okay.
That being UCF.
All right.
BYU split with Oklahoma State. We certainly know what happened in Stillwater. And played Oklahoma State most recently to end the regular season. I think I like the matchup better with Oklahoma State, despite what we've seen in those games where he had some guys that aren't necessarily lighting up the scoreboard, okay. Got into a rhythm. I think it's more about what UCF has shown me throughout the whole year.
Okay.
UCF has been one of those teams that has taken everybody by surprise, like BYU. You know, people did not expect UCF to do very much in basketball to the level that they have done. And I understand that maybe the overall record is not great, but they some of their wins have been against some of the upper echelon teams in this conference.
Kansas and Texas Tech, yeah. Notably.
So that they have shown the ability to get up for those big games. And certainly taking on BYU, the higher seed, a team that's already beaten you twice. They beat you in Orlando. They beat you here in Provo. I don't know if we're going to see if that's the matchup, if we're going to see 40-plus free throws being shot again.
No.
But I just they feel different to me and would come in with a little bit more confidence than what an Oklahoma State team would, even though they have one victory against BYU.
Yeah, the loss to BYU is permeating in the minds of Oklahoma State players. If the scout is there, you're not going to be different than you were a few days ago, right? Like, BYU and Oklahoma State are what they are right now. And Mark Pope just said, after beating Oklahoma State by 14, we're healthier than we've been all season. So, Oklahoma State probably, they have a significant challenge if they get to take on BYU again. The Cougars should feel good. Not great, because every game is tough. But, like, if I'm BYU and I get Oklahoma State again, I'm with you. Like, I want that team. I just played them. We just did the scout on that team. We figured out some things after BYU lost the first time to Oklahoma State, rectified it, and on a neutral site against a team that's played 24 hours earlier and expended a bunch of energy, give me Oklahoma State. Now, we just showed you a graphic. This is why I feel so strongly of why I don't want BYU to face UCF. Look at the last five games from the Knights. They beat Texas Tech by 14. They won at Oklahoma State.
Yep.
They pushed Iowa State to the brink, ultimately losing by 8, but still, they were 1-for-19 from the three-point line in that game. They make a few threes. They got a legitimate shot of beating Iowa State. They pushed Houston, had a lead in that game until about 12 minutes left. And then they won at TCU most recently, Jason. Like, they've won three of the last five.
Yeah.
UCF's feeling good. I know they're 7-11 overall, but they are, quote unquote, peaking at the right time compared to Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State lost a close game to Oklahoma, lost to UCF, got blown out by Texas, got blown out by Texas Tech, and got blown out by BYU. Now you tell me, do you want to face a team that's 3-2 in the last five with wins against Texas Tech and at TCU, or the team that's lost five straight games going into the Big 12 tournament?
Yeah, I want to take on Oklahoma State between the two. Okay, so let's take this question then one step further. It's who we want. Who do you think BYU is going to face? We're obviously 20, 25 minutes away from this game tipping off. How do you think that one's going to play out? Because I think it's going to be UCF that wins the game.
I believe that UCF will win the game. They're favored to win the game. They should win the game, but hoping that Oklahoma State can solve some issues defensively, and UCF's offense has struggled at times. Like, sometimes they go in these long scoring droughts, and just maybe Oklahoma State can end the five-game drought and get on an uptick. But it's going to take a lot to beat UCF. UCF wears you down. They are so, so long and athletic defensively. Like, you're exhausted after you play against UCF. So even better, if Oklahoma State can beat UCF, now you're dealing with a team that, yes, beat the Knights, but they're exhausted having played that style of basketball. And they got to turn around and take on a BYU team that just beat them.
See, for me, this boils down to, and I know it sounds like we're being homers here, but if BYU goes out and plays the way they have shown they can win, I don't think it matters who they play here. This really, we interview players all the time, and how many times have we heard players say, we're just going to worry about us. If we take care of our business, we're going to be fine. I think this legitimately is the case for BYU because of how this team is designed. It's so perimeter heavy, as we've seen. If BYU's making their shots from the outside, you're not beating them. If they struggle, that's when the opposition has a chance to pull the upset.
The magic numbers are make at least 10 threes and shoot over 32% from the three-point
line. If BYU can get into a rhythm from the perimeter, they're going to be fine, because that's what this team has shown all season long. When the outside shot is falling, BYU wins.
BYU has won some games without making 10 threes. It's just much less likely that they win the game without making at least 10 threes and at least shooting 32%. Yeah, they are who they are right now. Yeah. It's not changing.
Yeah.
Like, so they've got to make some outside shots, and they got to shoot at a certain percentage to feel like they can beat anybody. But, I mean, they beat Kansas. They beat Iowa State. They beat Baylor. They want another shot at Texas Tech. The easiest path to get to Texas Tech is clearly facing Oklahoma State. We're talking about one team is two games above 500. The other is seven below 500. Okay, Oklahoma State's 4-14 in Big 12 play. UCF, having won three of the last five to close out their regular season, is 7-11. Almost 60 spots different in net rankings. UCF is 61 in net.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State's 120. 66 spots different in BPI. So, strangely, the one loss that BYU has against in the four games they played against, it seems, is against Oklahoma State. But I'm with you. Like, UCF is on an uptick. Oklahoma State's lost five straight. Just if the Cowboys can figure it out, great. That would mean great potential for BYU to have an, quote-unquote, easier path to get to Texas.
What you're hoping for is that Oklahoma State can channel the same type of game that they had in Stillwater when they faced BYU.
Yeah,
when everybody was shooting far above their averages and scoring. That's what you need in a game like this. So it's certainly capable, but you hit the nail on the head when you're talking about UCF and their length. All over the floor, their length and the problems that can cause defensively is why they have been able to pull those upsets throughout the season.
Well, I know that some people are like, well, UCF would be a quad two win. Like, at this point, it doesn't
matter. It doesn't matter anymore now.
It does not matter. BYU has enough on their resume that they don't need this first win to be against a quad two opponent. It doesn't have to be.
They just need
a
win.
Yes.
They just need a win.
You need to win and then get yourself an opportunity to beat Texas Tech in a quad one game in the second round. If you beat Texas Tech, then you may just have solidified yourself a four seed in the NCAA tournament. Give me the easiest path to face Texas Tech.
Possibly a four seed in Salt Lake City. Are you kidding me?
Bring it on.
Oh, my goodness.
Jerry Palm is back in my good graces. We'll get to that in just a moment. CBS bracketologist. He wavers greatly depending on how he values the Cougars or devalues them, Jason. Our question of the day. Would you rather BYU play UCF or Oklahoma State tomorrow in the Big 12 tournament? BYU won both against UCF, split against Oklahoma State. How you feeling about it? Larry Chisholm on X says, I would slightly prefer that BYU plays UCF. Larry, I wonder after hearing our conversation if you still feel the same. He continues.
He's like, I'm trying to edit it.
BYU just played Oklahoma State, and so their game plan is fresh in their memory, while UCF will have less than a day to game plan for BYU. UCF, no, they're expecting to play BYU.
Yeah.
Like, they know what Oklahoma State is, too. They recently played Oklahoma State. So the prep for Oklahoma State is not that significant. I guarantee the UCF staff went heavy on BYU because they believe that they're going to play BYU.
100%.
They will be ready for BYU. Give me Oklahoma State. At BYU Uniform Tracker on X. Oklahoma State by far. Play style and athleticism of UCF is dangerous, and I hated both regular season games against UCF, even though BYU won both. Hashtag BYUS on an X, Facebook, and Instagram. Yeah, both were, I mean, the second game, weirdly, was like uncomfortable at the end, right?
Yeah.
When BYU was up by 15 plus, and then all of a sudden it was like a two-point game. It just got super weird. Join the conversation. Let us know what you think.
BYU Sports Nation will have live coverage from the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City beginning tomorrow and going through Friday. Tune in at noon Eastern on BYU TV and on BYU Radio.
Up next, three-time Super Bowl champion head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, is back on the show. Why this season was a little extra special, how he got to know Taylor Swift, and does he really not like wearing red even though he's a Chiefs head coach? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is sponsored by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jason Shepherd. It is our absolute pleasure now to welcome in the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Super Bowl champions three times in the last 5 years. He is Andy Reid, a BYU legend. Coach Reid, great to have you with us once again on BYU Sports Nation.
Well, great. I appreciate you having me. It's great to be with you guys.
Coach, we feel like we needed to channel the Kansas City / BYU connection, especially with BYU basketball hanging out at the Big 12 tournament. Now, we need to give you a shout out for the lights out read that you did at a previous basketball game. Thought that was super cool. And for what it's worth, I think that was the loudest cheer that we heard from BYU fans the entire night.
Well, listen, I appreciate all the blue, man. I love BYU, and I'm glad I could just do a little part there. So, or be, at least be a little part of it.
I know that it's fun for fans to be able to see how connected you are with BYU still to this day. What does it mean to you to still have that connection and to be asked to do fun things like that?
Yeah, I love it. It's such a big foundation to where my career's gone. The acquaintances I had there, Coach Lavelle Edwards being one of my mentors and really helping me along the way. So I'm forever grateful to BYU. And I met my wife there, which is probably the biggest thing. And, and 12 grandkids later, we're still going strong. So I owe a lot to BYU.
Andy Reid is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, now that you're post-Super Bowl once again, and it is three Super Bowl championships in the last 5 years, how do you adequately celebrate the offseason? Because sometimes it doesn't feel like there really is an offseason.
Yeah, that's most people don't know that, but it's a year-round business. So after the parade, which was on a Wednesday after the Super Bowl, we took a couple days off, and we got a place out in California, went out there and relaxed for a little bit, but just for a few days, and then headed up to Michigan for a couple days, and then we're right back at it doing free agency. So there's a lot of prep work that goes into free agency. There's a lot of prep work that goes into the draft, and then our off-season program. You've got to prepare for that. So this thing just keeps going, and the further you go in the playoffs, the shorter the off-season is. It's a good thing, but it's also a busy thing.
Winning one Super Bowl is difficult. Winning multiple Super Bowls takes it to another level. You've been able to win now back-to-back Super Bowls. How difficult was that to, when you look back on two seasons in a row winning back-to-back Super Bowls? Can you put that into words, what goes into that type of an accomplishment?
Yeah, how great is that? I mean, it's such a team effort, and that's a part that I cherish. I mean, I love that part of it. I mean, that's kind of where your mind, it goes in a lot of different places. But the main thing is I'm standing on the podium after this last one, and all I could think about was the ups and downs of the season, all the twists and turns that took place, the different personalities, the guys pushing themselves beyond what they thought they could push themselves. Chris Jones, I mean, he's sitting there next to me on the field, and we're in overtime, and he's completely exhausted. And, to challenge him to get back out there and just kind of reach a little deeper than maybe he's ever reached before to go do it. And willingly hustles out there and makes a huge third down play. So you think about all of those twists and turns that took place during the year and how these guys just sacrificed so much to get themselves into that position.
Coach, I know every one of them is special, speaking of the Super Bowl championships, but based on what you just chronicled, did this one take on an extra special meaning because of the extra adversity and the ups and downs and the extreme roller coaster fashion of this specific season?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to win a game in the National Football League. I mean, it's so challenging. There's so much parity. That you win one and you go, man, that's quite an accomplishment. And before you come into the season, you're hoping you win one and you'll just take that one and then you'll go on to the next one. So to win two Super Bowls is quite an achievement. That's why a lot of people haven't done that, let alone win one Super Bowl. And it's just a tribute to the organization, how everybody pulls together from our owner, Clark Hunt, to Mark Donovan, our president, to Brett Veach, our general manager, to all the coaches and players. Everybody gets in this thing and they pull together, and there's this unity that it doesn't take place everywhere. And we're all on the same page. We respect each other's jobs that we do, and we put it out there. And, you know, we work our tail off, and you hope for the best as you go, and stay humble the best way you can.
As a Chiefs fan, I love hearing the players talk about the possibility of going for the three-peat. I don't know how much you like hearing the players talk openly about that in public, but how big is that carrot dangling out in front of everybody if the opportunity presents itself to go for the three-peat?
Yeah, listen, I don't care about all that. I mean, I just told the fellas that, listen, when you come back, and really it's for everybody, all the people that are involved in the practices and preparation. So is make sure you're prepared when you come back to training camp. Training camp's not going to be any easier. So you can put all the fluff aside, and you better be ready for that. And we've got good leadership on the team, so they preach that same thing to the guys. And so it's important that you're able to do that. Understand what's real, and then all the hard work that goes in. You build this foundation, and then you stay on top of that and keep building up as you go through the season. But that part is so, so important. And take some time off, but not too much time off.
Kansas City Chiefs head coach Andy Reid is on BYU Sports Nation. Coach, you've been very outspoken through the years about the emphasis on faith and family within this football paradigm, and finding a balance with the high demand that you deal with as a head coach in the NFL certainly is a tricky beast. Spoken with Steve Young about this at length, and he said it's not easy to balance all of these things to keep family, faith, and football all kind of in line. How have you been able to navigate that? Because, again, you go to church on Sunday morning the day you win the Super Bowl. So how are you doing this?
Yeah, well, you understand what's important and what helped you get there, right? So you never want to lose that part of it. And it's so important in our lives as it is in many people's lives. And so you stay in tune there. And then we also understand how important family is. And through all the ups and downs of raising families, you stay close, hanging onto that iron rod the best way you possibly can, right, as you go forward. And you trust. And so that all becomes important. And then the football part of it, I've been lucky enough to have a couple sons that have worked in the business with me. My daughters one daughter is the wife of a strength coach for the Chargers now. And so, and then you guys know Spencer, and Spencer's with us here as one of our strength coaches. So I get to see and talk football all the time with our family. My other daughter, she loves the sport. So we're all involved. And then really the head coach of the head coach is my wife. So she, Tammy, she kind of controls everything and makes sure we're all going in the right direction.
We've seen you coach at some BYU football games, and we know how tight you still are with the program. Coach Satake talks about you all the time, and how, you know, you have an opportunity to speak with each other when it works for schedules, and how much he appreciates that. How much do you appreciate the relationship that you have with Kalani, and what are your thoughts on how he has molded this program throughout his tenure?
Yeah, I love the Cougars. I love Kalani and the job that he's done. Nobody's got a bigger personality or more influential personality than what Kalani has. And he gets to touch all these young guys in such a positive way. And then they put out this product. And it's one that, as alum, we can all respect and appreciate. And so just look where BYU's gone here now and stepping up in conferences, and they're in the limelight. It's that's so competitive, so, so competitive. And, all of this foundation that he has and the strength that he has will even be magnified more going forward here in the next few years.
Coach, one of my favorite things to see at every home basketball game is a cutout of Travis Kelce in a BYU football jersey. I love it. It makes me smile every time. So can you give us the backstory, if you know it, into that bet? Like, who made the bet that made Travis Kelce wear a BYU jersey when the Cougars beat Cincinnati head-to-head?
Yeah, I believe it was Bushman. You know, they're in the same room, and everybody, listen, we love our colleges. And so there's so much competition between coaches and players, coaches and coaches, that you'll see people wearing different jerseys and shirts and everything after the other team schools you a little bit. So I think that's where that came from. And Travis wore it with pride. He would have been a great player at BYU. You know, we've had a lot of great tight ends. He would have been right in the mix. I told him he probably could start there, you know, even so.
Okay, here's my question, though, Coach. Last year, BYU beat Texas Tech. How come we never saw Patrick Mahomes in a BYU jersey? And is there any chance, because my head would explode, if I saw Patrick Mahomes in a BYU jersey, is there any chance that would ever happen?
Oh yeah, he's a willing contributor, so he would do that. I'm not sure he didn't have a BYU shirt on or hat, something, but yeah, absolutely. He loves BYU too. He follows BYU. He follows Utah. He follows all the different schools. He doesn't miss much.
You mentioned Matt Bushman, and we're grateful that he made that bet with Travis. It's created a lot of fun memes for sure and different pictures. How have you seen him progress as he's made his way onto the practice squad and through a few years now in the NFL?
Yeah, so Matt's he's great to have in our locker room, first of all. He's such a good person and such a positive influence in our locker room, which is important. And that's a tough position to crack here, because we've had so many good players, but Matt could play for a lot of teams in this league and be on their regular roster. We've just had the same guys here for X number of years. And so it's a little tougher to get in that mix, but nobody has better hands than Matt does. I mean, you ask anybody on our team who has the best hand, they're going to tell you Matt Bushman has the best hands of anybody on our team. So, and he's a big kid. He's gotten better every year. You know, he was banged up a little bit a couple years ago, but he's done just a heck of a job for us. So the sky's the limit for him as he goes forward in this thing. And like I said, there's no better person than him.
You mentioned a couple of minutes ago about BYU moving up in conferences, obviously now in the Big 12 conference. What did you make of BYU's first season in the Big 12? And what do you like about that fit with the Cougars in that conference specifically?
Yeah, so the Big 12, I mean, you're getting up there now in these power conferences, and so recruiting becomes so important. You have all these NIL rules and all of the stuff that goes along with that. And it's tough. I mean, it's tough. The error margin is so small when you get that competition that high. And so everybody has to raise their game from administration on through. I mean, that's just how this thing works. Coaches, players, it involves everybody. And we're fortunate that Tom Homo is still here and kind of driving that train there. So it's it takes a little bit of time, though. And so I was very impressed with the how they went about it this year and how competitive BYU was. I think they're right where they need to be, and they just keep adding to it. They got their feet wet with it and a taste of the recruiting part that's going to need to take place, and you know, everything that goes on with when you move up just another level. But at the same time, it's going to attract even greater players than BYU already has, which is kind of a neat thing, and it brings in the revenue part of it. And I think it's just a win-win all the way around. And we're in this thing for the challenge, and this is a great challenge. It's a great challenge for the Cougs, and I know good things are coming here, man.
Andy Reid is on BYU Sports Nation. It was fun to watch BYU make their debut in Kansas against the Jayhawks. They didn't win in football, but they won in basketball, which was very special. And so I know the BYU fans in Kansas were wearing their blue extra bright the day after they won at Fog Allen Fieldhouse. Now, I do want to rewind to the football contest because the next day, this young woman named Taylor Swift shows up at your home game and the football world exploded collectively. Coach, you're a master at balancing things. How did you navigate this just overwhelming attention from the Swifties and stay focused on the football? Because that's very, very difficult with that additional attention week in, really day in and day out.
Yeah, so listen, my feeling is if Trav's happy and Taylor's happy, I'm good with that. I just appreciate that they have a loving relationship, and you know, that part's probably the most important thing. The rest of it's easy because she handles herself as you would expect, the right way. And she's a fan. I mean, she loves watching the team play, and it's almost an escape for her that way, where she doesn't have to be on the, you know, in the spotlight, and she can just sit back and watch these games, and she really gets into it. Her dad was a football player, so yeah, she kind of knows how this thing works. And her dad was a big Eagles fan, so I got to know him when I was back in Philadelphia, and she was just starting off at that time. And she's, you know, I mean, she's turned in. I mentioned this to one of the media fellows since the queen has passed away, she arguably is the most famous woman in the world. And for her to be at our games and to bring that to the National Football League, I mean, think of all the young ladies that now have an opportunity to jump on and learn the game. And that's a positive for the National Football League. And she just handles herself with such grace.
The Big 12 Conference is going to be changing again heading into next year. And while BYU and Utah have not been in the same conference for over a decade, that's going to change in the next couple of months. What do you make of the Cougars and the Utes being back in the same conference?
Listen, I love that rivalry. I mean, there's nothing like it. I'm friends with Kyle Whittingham. I actually have his son, Alex, on staff here. And one of my sons graduated from there. So I follow Utah. I understand the rivalry. Coach Edwards, one of the last things he told me, just don't pick a team with red, you know, and I end up going here. He still supported me, so I was happy about that. But, that I still have that issue with the red part. So I get it. And I love the competition with between BYU and Utah. It's such a phenomenal rivalry. People don't understand that. But now it will be brought and magnified even more now that we're in this big conference. And I just think those battles are so great right there. And the proximity, obviously, is what drives that rivalry and the recruiting part, the aspect of it, who gets who. And it's fun to follow. It's really a neat deal.
We've clarified several times on this program that the cherry red of the Kansas City Chiefs is 100% acceptable. It's not the crimson red of Utah. So we've labeled it correctly, Coach.
Spoken by a true Chief fan.
Right? Hey, trust me. If this were Ute red, this Chief shirt would not be on me right now. I can promise you that.
Oh, no, I hear you.
Great stuff. All right, Coach, we'll finish with this. As BYU pushes forward, and they're trying to make a name for themselves again on the national scene. They're already a national brand. They have such a great history. As part of your history, when you look back at BYU football and your time here, what's your favorite BYU football memory that you experienced?
Oh, boy. Well, first it would be meeting Coach Edwards. I mean, that no better human being than him, no better football coach than him. And the things that he taught me I've carried, you know, throughout my career, just on how to handle people, how to handle a team. Nobody did it better than him. And then all the coaches that I had were great. So, and the players, I've still got friends around the country that I played with. We capped it off with a nice win against SMU and the Miracle Bowl. And those are the highlights that I take. I mean, there were a lot of things in between, a lot of great games in between that and fun experiences. But from the football standpoint, those were kind of the primary things that I think we all take from BYU.
Coach, it's been a pleasure to have you on BYU Sports Nation. Once again, we know how unbelievably busy you are and successful you are, but you're always so gracious to take some time with us. So great to have you on the program. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Coach.
Well, I appreciate you guys. You do a great job. And I appreciate that too, on how professional you are and how you handle all this.
Hey, you got it. Oh, and I did have a staffer ask on the pump pass up and kick competition that you were in. They asked, did he win it? And I was like, I don't know. Did you win that competition, Coach?
You know what? I lost that one. I won a few other ones, but that one, that year I lost at that level. And the other thing is, I just want to clarify this for you. That kid that's standing next to me is only 8 years old. I was 13. We were in a line, and 8 year olds go first, and then they circle back around behind you. So he was an 8 year old. I was big, but not that big.
Oh, great stuff. I'm so glad I got that question. And yeah, to clarify that, Coach, have a great time. Cheer on the Cougs in Kansas City for us at the Big 12 basketball tournament. And can't wait to see you again soon.
Absolutely. Go Cougs.
You got it. Andy Reid with us on BYU Sports Nation. Wow. I never knew that. It's an 8-year old circling behind him in that picture.
So that picture is really out of context.
Hey,
and it's used every NFL game. They use it every NFL game.
Hey, guess what? At least we spelled his last name right in our graphic, right? Unlike the punt, pass, and kick competition graphic.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to be on cloud nine all day
long.
That
was awesome.
That was absolutely
great to talk with Coach
Reed. All right. 5-seed BYU men's basketball will play the winner of UCF and Oklahoma State in the second round of the Big 12 tournament tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. Pregame coverage begins at 11:30 a.m. Eastern on BYU Radio.
After the break, where BYU basketball is currently projected in the biggest national brackets and the weirdest place both Jason and I have ever conducted an interview. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jason. Let's roll out your headlines.
BYU men's basketball remained at number 20 in this week's AP poll after splitting games against Iowa State and Oklahoma State. The team traveled to Kansas City yesterday for the Big 12 basketball tournament. They will play the winner of UCF and Oklahoma State tomorrow in the second round of the Big 12 tournament. Those two teams are battling right now at the T-Mobile Center. 14:50 to go in the first half. UCF with a 2-point lead over the Cowboys at 6-4.
All right, let's have some fun with bracketology, not just in ESPN's bracket, though we'll start with Joe Lunardi, who has BYU as a 5-seed playing South Florida in Pittsburgh. Blech. CBS Sports' Jerry Palm has BYU as a 4-seed facing UC Irvine in Salt Lake City. That's more like it. The Athletic also has BYU as a 4-seed playing UC Irvine in Salt Lake City. Congruency there. Andy Katz has BYU as a 5-seed playing James Madison. Bracket Matrix has BYU as an average of a 4.81 seed. Beat whoever you play tomorrow and keep it rolling.
Yesterday, day one of NFL free agency, former BYU linebacker Sione Takitaki signing a 2-year deal with the New England Patriots. Takitaki played in 72 games over 4 seasons for the Browns, totaling 269 tackles and 4 sacks.
BYU softball beat UVU 9-7 last night at Gale Miller Field thanks to a 3-run walk-off homer from Matty Bejarano. Matty B. BYU improves to 16-6 with the win. Up next, a 3-game series at second-ranked Texas in Austin beginning Thursday.
BYU baseball traveling to Salt Lake City tonight to face Utah for the first time this season. BYU 7-7 on the year. Utah is 11-4. I will have the call at 8 Eastern time on BYU Radio.
And BYU men's volleyball drops one spot to number 7 in this week's ABCA poll. After splitting road matches at Stanford, BYU has a bye this week. Those are today's headlines. Now, some opinions in the whip. The Cougar Whip Round presented by Marist, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
All right, as mentioned in headlines, your guy, Jerry Palm of CBS Sports, has BYU as a projected 4-seed in Salt Lake City. Is this the best case scenario for BYU in the NCAA tournament?
Well, outside of BYU winning the Big 12 tournament and getting a 3-seed, yes, this is the most beneficial, realistic, best case scenario for BYU. 4-13 in Salt Lake. Doesn't get much better than that.
Agree 100%. And I do like the matchup against UC Irvine, the Dawson Baker Bowl.
Let's go. Hey, yesterday in pregame live, or Cougar pregame live preparation for you, Jason, You interviewed BYU's Richie Saunders in a cold tub.
While he was in the cold tub. Yeah.
Have you ever done an interview in a weirder place than that?
No, I have not. I have not. I was told, Richie's got 5 minutes, he's in the cold tub, and I'm like, okay, let's do this. So you can hear the Elvitt's echoey brilliance tomorrow on Cougar Pregame Live. Weirdest place that you've ever conducted an interview?
It was in Palm Springs. It was an election night. Got called to some breaking news because we were the on-call. Sports had been canceled because it's an election night. It's a presidential election night. Got called to a drive-by shooting, okay, in the Dream Homes area of Cathedral City. And here I am, the sports guy, interviewing this sheriff about this drive-by shooting. And he's like, hey, by the way, love your Friday night high school football coverage. As there's a dead body in the background. I'm like, sir, this is not the time
sir,
to talk
this
about
is not
Friday
appropriate.
Night football.
This is not appropriate.
Super weird.
Okay. Oh. That may beat my cold tub story.
Super weird. Gosh. Hey, after the break, BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff details where he is growing as a quarterback as he fights for the starting quarterback job with Gary Bohannon. This is BYU Sports Nation. No more breaking news in Cathedral City.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Station in Studio B. Here's Jerem Jordan's conversation with BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff as we continue spring football coverage.
All right, Jake, in a word, how was spring ball so far?
Exciting. You know, I'm just so happy to be back. Exciting is way out, but a lot of opportunity and so excited.
So there's a quarterback battle. There's almost the only thing more exciting than that from BYU fans is if BYU is somehow getting a new coach. But Kalani's firmly entrenched there for a long time. Let's go. But what is it like to be one of the guys in the quarterback battle?
Exciting. It's so fun. It's a lot of opportunity. Gary's a great dude. I love hanging out with that guy. It's so fun. It's great to just get a guy out there to push every day. That's really what it is. It's just, you know, iron sharpens iron. And so that's Jay Hill.
Jay Hill just said, why didn't you complete more balls today?
Yeah, because I couldn't actually complete more if I wanted to. I completed every one. Yeah, no, I'm just playing. No, it's so fun. Gary's awesome. It's so fun. It's a lot of, like I said, it's a lot of opportunity. And just somebody pushing you, it just makes it more fun and better. He's just another kick in the butt, as if I needed one more, but yeah, it's great.
You've had plenty in your life and career, as you talked about on the Deep Blue podcast. Shameless plug. Nice appearance on that with Jason Shepherd, by the way. So what is it like to go through that and try and earn that spot, which you hope is you? And if it's not you, you're going to probably play anyways, because that's how college football is at this point.
Yeah, no, it's not something you worry about every day. You worry about what you're doing on the field every day. You worry about yourself. And that's the biggest thing that, you know, I would tell young quarterbacks is stop looking around the room. It's not about anybody else. It's about you. It's about how you develop, how you do things on the field. And so, like, and that's the way that it is for at this level. So, like, I'm never, like, looking at Gary like, oh, he did this better, or oh, he's not doing this because of me. No, I'm just worried about what I'm doing. As long as I can execute the highest level of my abilities, then I'll be all right at the end of the day. I'll be able to lay my head down at night.
When are you hoping to know who the starter is?
I guess as early as possible. You know, I don't know when that is. This is my first time. So, you know, whenever that is, that's A-Rod's decision. Like I said, I'm not worried about it.
He's holding up the whole system.
No, I'm not. Connor's holding up the whole system.
Is he getting in like more steps or something that's helping?
More mileage. And so they treat me better because they think I did more on the field when
nice.
I didn't.
They're like, wow, Jake really ran around a lot today. Thanks, Connor. Appreciate you, bro. Appreciate it. We got Jay Hill. Yep, he keeps the show running, exactly. I'm so jealous of his voice. It's so deep and amazing.
He's kind of got the EA Sports voice.
Right?
A little bit. I got to ask him to say it. I'm going to put it on Twitter next time I get a chance.
Let's talk about that, by the way. So have they reached out to everybody and you opt in or opt out and the whole thing?
It's that simple. You opt in or opt out. I opted in, so hopefully.
$600 whole.
And the game.
They give you the game.
And the game. We get a digital copy, I believe, of the game, and so I'm excited to play it. It's going to be super weird. I don't know how I'm going to feel about my brother sending me videos of me getting blown up by some linebacker from Alabama or something, but it's going to be so super exciting. And it's cool we get one, too, because like, I get to see it, you know, firsthand and be like, wow, this is weird. And then this is cool. It's really cool at the same time. So just excited for it. I mean, when you're a kid, you just like, you play video games with all these guys. And, you know, I was playing video games with Reggie Bush and all those guys. And like now I'm on the game like they were. It's kind of wild.
So $650 if it's worth $50.
That's probably like $90. That's how it goes nowadays. Okay. Yeah.
$700 we'll round up. you talked about the timeline of when you hope to know who the starter is. Have you been told, hey, end of spring we're going to do this, or hey, we're going to go into fall camp? Do you know?
No, I don't really have an idea of the exact time. But, you know, like I said, that's not my job. I'm happy that's not my job because you got to make tough decisions. You know, A-Rod's got to make a lot of tough decisions, and it's probably going to be one of them. So, yeah, I'm not, like I said, I'm not that concerned about it. I'm concerned about getting reps in with the guys and, you know, just playing out here with the boys.
You started the last four games last year. What have you learned and sort of internalized from those opportunities and what you hope to build on into this season?
You know, just the consistency of who's on the other side of the ball. You know what I mean? Like, being the Big 12, it's you go against a new guy every week, a new set of 11 dudes who are trying to kill you at the end of the day. And so it's interesting to learn that every week, no matter where how banged up you are from the week prior, you got to come out there like, all right, let's go. You got to give them the best. You got to do everything you can on the field to go get a win. And that's the one thing. And honestly, the main thing I learned is that anybody's beatable at this level. You know, we can beat anybody. We can play with anybody in the country. And I know, like, the record last year doesn't show that, but, you know, we showed that in those last two games. And anybody who's watching understands that. And so, Cougar Nation, we're excited.
What do you think the continuity of a second year will do for you and the offense, as you mentioned, the same guys on the same side of the ball, into year two in the Big 12?
Oh, it's you know, it's like taking classes. You start with level 100 and now you're on level 200, and so, like, that's what I feel like. I feel like I got the basic understanding. I feel like I got a good foundation to go off of. And so now it's like, all right, now the nuances, now the little things, now the, you know, how every play works out against every coverage and all these type of things, and the more reps the better. And so that's kind of, you know, where it's at. Just like, next level, let's level up. Let's just keep trying to be better in every way we can.
Are you hoping in the EA Sports college football game that, like, your ratings are somewhat where you're hoping? Because who knows, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, honestly, it's tough. I don't have an expectation, but I'm expecting.
I almost don't believe you, by the way, right there.
I don't really have an expectation for what I'd be happy with a good rating. You know what I mean? Like,
what's a good rating?
When you only play four games, a good rating is probably like anything above a 75. Okay. You know what I mean? That's what I expect. I don't expect them to give me a lot of respect. But by the end of the year, you know, I'm hoping to get it way up there.
And then you can start a, you know, dynasty, and then you keep going, and then you build.
When I'm done with college football, I'm still playing on the video game. That's the plan.
I still have a PS3 and 2014, which is the last game, and I download the roster every year, and I still play, dude. Yeah. Did you grow up playing the game?
Oh, 100%. We grew up playing with guys like Reggie Bush, but it wasn't him, obviously. Right. You know what I mean? Our favorite was mascot mode, when you just out there with the Oregon Duck versus, like, the Bama Elephant running into each other. That was always really fun. that game was wild. I can't believe that was the way it was. Like, you tell a kid that, they won't believe you. You know what I mean? So, no, it's a sweet game, and I'm just excited to be in it, excited to play it. Like, our guys here, I know our equipment guys have, like, a old Xbox 360 that they bring in during fall camp, and they play NCAA on it. Yeah, and I got in on a game last year, and so now they can do it with a brand new, PS5, whatever it is, and it'll be us they're playing with. It'll be kind of funny.
It'd be nice if they threw in, like, a gaming system with the game, but that's just me. I'm just saying, yeah. Okay. Well, $600 doesn't feel like a lot of money, but it's okay. You've been very supportive of the other teams on campus. I've seen you at soccer and volleyball and basketball and everything. Why is that important to you to go to those games?
They're really fun. I mean, I love sports. I just played every sport I could growing up. Just anything we could. We live by the beach. We go play beach volleyball. We go play. If there was a spike ball team, I'd hope to be on it. And if I could, obviously not. But I'd be at the games. You know what I mean? Like, it's all really cool. I was at the softball game yesterday. We were just having fun at the game. You know, I get all the guys out to the game. We just have so much fun and make it way more live as we could possibly make it. All these games are so exciting. I think people just, like, don't understand. When they're not at it, they don't understand it. Like, and every venue at BYU is always jumping. You know, even if it's, you know, gymnastics on a Tuesday night, it's still jumping, whatever it is. So I love the environment of a game. I'm a competitive guy myself, so I'm always rooting for the Cougars. And so just like to go out and have fun with the guys, hang out with some of the boys from the team, just go have fun.
You're one of us, Jake. I love it. Well, continued success in spring ball, and thanks for the time, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
Jake Retzlaff, he's in the game. Up next, who do you want BYU basketball to play tomorrow in Kansas City, UCF or Oklahoma State? Our elite voice of the day on the way. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Our question of the day, would you rather BYU play UCF or Oklahoma State tomorrow in the Big 12 tournament? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevate. It comes from @TobyMack on X, who says, I'd rather play Kansas right now, to be honest. Understandable.
Yeah.
Today's Rises shout out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about we give it to the great Andy Reid for joining our program today. And we also want to congratulate Fred Warner and his wife, Sydney,
yes,
on the birth of their son, Bo Anthony Warner.
Outstanding. Fred, our thanks to today's guests, Andy Reid and Jake Retzlaff.
All shows on demand, BYUSN.com.
For Jason, I'm Spencer. See you tomorrow back here in Studio B. Go Cougs.